As the PT boat slowed to enter the pass, Lieutenant Craig Brandon walked into view and raised a closed fist. Standing on the bridge of the fighting ship, a tall man with black hair copied the motion, then snapped the fist to his chest, then slashed an open palm down to his side.
Let them pass.
The officer faced the other structure and tapped the stock of his long blaster with two fingers spread wide. The SAC men across the water nodded in understanding and went back inside their bunker and out of the ocean spray. The pre-dark military craft slid through the passageway, its aft funnels blowing black smoke into the air, the heavy beat of its engines audible over the crashing of the waves. The tall officer on the deck glanced at the guards in passing, then turned his back to them as the boat reached open water again and increased its speed.
Think he found them? Don't really care, Frazier. I was hoping the shitter would die this time.
The deck throbbing beneath his polished boots as the PT boat moved easily into the vast, calm harbor, the lieutenant closely studied the defensive bunkers hidden along the curving shore and noted the holstered blasters of the muscular fishermen working the nets of a small trawler. A stone castle stood on a distant mountaintop, its imposing array of Firebird rockets undetectable in the manicured gardens, the beachfront dock busy with ships and men. Everything seemed in order, which slightly displeased the officer. As the SEC chief for Baron Kinnison, it was his job to always make sure no pirate fleet or attacking armada could break through and reach the Baron. Perfection bothered the man, and he made a mental note to offer some of the slaves a full pardon from the saltpeter mines if they would attack the Islandville. He'd take them out to sea, give the fools some blasters and knives, and watch how his SEC men handled the assault. And if the slaves decided to run, that would be a good test to the weapons and crew on board PT-264. For every slave who escaped alive, the whole crew would receive 10 lashes. For every slave aced and their blasters recovered, an hour in the gaudy house. Private level.
Fuel.
Both hands on the till, the SEC man checked a gauge set amid the pre-dark control panel. Most of the gauges and dials didn't work, but the important ones did. Engine temperature, engine pressure, speed, and compass. What else did a sailor need?
Ain't touched a drop, sir. Only used wood the whole trip.
The lieutenant just liked to keep the men alert. Coal oil gave the boilers twice the heat of wood, which translated as twice the pressure and speed. However, wood was cheap, and squeezing shale for the few precious drops of oil was a long and slow process. He was determined to never waste a single ounce. Ahead of PT-264, several large sailing ships floated 100 yards from the docks, prizes won in battle with the renegades to the south. Now, the booty served both as items to be sold to vills that needed to increase their fleets, and as physical protection for the vulnerable dockyards. As the squat PT boat maneuvered through the picket line of vessels, the wooden giants became lost in its billowing exhaust plumes. Now, the vast green expanse of Maturo Island filled his view, and Brandon reached over to tug on a thick rope, giving 2 short blasts on the shrill steam whistle to inform the shoreline Firebird batteries they were approaching. Standard regs from the Baron. Nobody approached without notice, or else they were blown from the water before reaching the dock. The man was insane, but no fool. Many had tried to take Maturo Island, but none ever reached the shore, much less the Castle Kinnison.
Home. Pay attention to that buoy, Frazier, and do your job.
Aye, sir. Engine room, give me backspin. Half speed.
Back at half. Aye, sir.
There were some heavy mechanical clunks from below decks, and then the PT boat noticeably slowed as the propellers began to spin counterclockwise, killing their momentum. With practiced ease, the deadly warship coasted to the pier and came to an easy halt alongside the concrete and greenwood dock.
All stop!
As the crew of PT-264 hurried about, tossing mooring lines to the dockside crew, Brandon hopped off the metal boat and strode quickly along the workers. The nets were neatly folded, a few old slaves repairing rips, and the smell of fish guts was thick in the air. If the Baron depended entirely upon the Vils for food, the Sekmen of Maturo Island would soon find themselves starved into submission and chained with the rest of the slaves to toil in the nitrate mines until they died of the white cough. Brandon would rather eat his blaster than let that happen. 15 more PT boats were docked at the piers, with 6 more out on patrol. Every boat was similarly armed with machine guns and torpedo tubes, but only the 264 also sported a rank of firebirds.
Morning, sir. How goes the pirate hunt, sir?
With a snarl, Brandon backhanded the sec man.
Never ask me the Baron's business.
With that, the lieutenant marched away.
Son of a bitch. Guess the pirate won this trip.
Bad for us. Now old Iron Ass will make us parade and shit so he won't feel bad.
We need a new sec, Chief.
Just let me know if you decide to challenge the man. I could use your boots.
Fuck you, too.
Yeah, pal. Anytime.
The crowd of workers, sec men, and slaves parting before him, Brandon reached dry land and stood for a moment, savoring the feeling of it not moving under his boots. He hated the sea, but that was part of the job. He glanced toward the distant green hills, seeing the dark areas of burned earth where some stoop bastard had made a mistake and a storehouse of black powder had exploded, leveling hundreds of trees and chilling dozens of slaves and sec men. But much more importantly, the fatal mistake reduced their supply of ammo. Lead was salvaged from the pre-dark ruins, lots of it there, and slaves made more slaves all by themselves. But flash was a major problem. There was only one major source of that, and it didn't belong to Kinnison. Reaching a tall flight of stairs cut into the very granite of the mountain, he started to climb at an easy lope. 100 slaves had died cutting the staircase, and 50 more while decorating it with fancy designs. But that was only fitting for the man who ruled the 1,000 known islands of the entire world. Once an outlander found on the beach had claimed to come from the mainland. Brandon shot him in the face. Such foolish talk could make others think of leaving, undermine the power of the barons and their sec men. Absolutely intolerable. At the top of the stairs, the lieutenant walked slowly across fields of manicured lawns edged with flowering gardens. Sec men saluted as he passed. Passing a splashing fountain, Brandon headed straight for the front door of the Baron's castle. It used to be a post office building, but its thick walls and lack of windows made it a perfect fortress. The glass door had long ago been replaced by thick wood bound by straps of iron. 3 of the 4 doors were closed, the open doorway guarded by an armed sec man standing stiffly at attention.
Morning, Private.
Halt! Password, sir.
You know who I am and what I do to idiots who annoy me. Now get out of the way!
The sec man paled, but swung the barrel of the Weatherby 30-06 rifle toward the sec chief.
Password or die. Your choice.
The two stared at each other. Then Brandon made a move for the pistol at his side. Instantly, the guard shifted his aim and fired. The holster jerked, a ragged scar in the polished leather where the round had plowed through.
Next one goes in your face.
Excellent. Good response time and fine shooting, Sergeant.
Private, sir.
Not anymore. Nor are you working for internal sec. You're with me now, a private guard for the Baron himself. I need a new XO on the boat, and I think you'll do.
Me, sir? Thank you, sir.
What's your name, son?
Hannigan, sir. Thor Hannigan.
Meet me down at the dock, slip 2, PT-264. We'll talk later, Sergeant Hannigan.
Aye, sir.
The rest of you men are dismissed.
Relaxing, the other sec men shouldered their weapons and walked back to their assigned posts. Beaming a smile, Brandon tried to get past the boy, and the long blaster was shoved into his face again.
Nice try. Password or die.
In cold fury, the lieutenant stared at the man, then slowly nodded.
Excellent. The password is Broken Sword.
Pass, sir.
The promoted soldier lowered his weapon to port arms. Watching his step, Brandon walked inside, then turned.
Don't forget to pick up that spent brass.
That's for private, sir, not me.
Good man. You'll go far.
Proceeding down the main corridor, Brandon went past the dining hall, the armory, and then the soundproof doors to the dungeon. Whimpering and the thump of metal on flesh could be heard softly from within.
Soundproof my ass.
Damn door needed repairs again. Too many near escapes had damaged the jam once more. When would the men learn to cut the hamstrings of prisoners so they couldn't run, even if they got free from the shackles? Time for more beatings. Stopping before the entrance to the throne room, the officer smoothed his hair and made sure the flap on his holster was buttoned down tight before entering. The Baron had more rules on sec than he did. He knocked on the sheet metal covering the door, and an old woman pushed the heavy portal aside and let him enter.
How is he?
The man glanced around the huge room. The Baron was holding court over some people from another island who were trying to buy more black powder.
Bad, sir. Wife 19 gave him another girl.
Black dust! Did he let this one live?
Threw it into the sea himself.
Brandon heard the shift from a person to a thing. He couldn't blame the old midwife. She was trained to deliver children, not murder newborns. But the Baron was set on getting a son to replace him when death finally came, or claimed that he'd take them all to hell when he died. Nobody doubted the threat. On a raised wooden platform, an obscene pile of flesh sat in an armless throne, wads of mottled flesh hanging over either side of the chair. Slaves stood attendant on both sides, with armed sec men in the corners, and a large crowd of people standing patiently before the pulsating mound of fat, as he noisily guzzled from a cup of wine made from a spent 120mm artillery round. Baron Maxwell Kinnison was beyond repulsive. His hard, piggy eyes were sunk deep in a pool of fat, and a tremendous belly flopped over his gun belt and quivered upon his unseen lap. His clothing was a mixture of navy uniforms and bedsheets, and the checkered grips of pre-dark revolvers jutted from his clothing in several locations. Hair grew in irregular tufts in his otherwise bald head. His face was a mass of open sores, and the fingers of both hands were wrapped in strips of cloth stained black and yellow from the dried blood and pus. His disease was called the Red Death. Some old healer once called it by the fancy name of leprosy. Kinnison was dying by pieces, and only massive amounts of jolt and alcohol helped him dull the pain enough to stay coherent. Any remaining sanity had disappeared years earlier. However, he was still the only person alive who knew the secret formula for making black powder, which was the very heart of their power over the lesser islands. No matter how many people wanted him aced, that secret had to be pried from the bloated whale first, no matter what the cost. Snorting for air through his tiny nose, the Baron took a whole chicken from the bowl of roasted birds alongside his throne and started to rip the skin off the white meat with jagged yellow teeth. Brandon advanced and snapped off a salute.
My lord.
Report.
Pirates attacked another convoy headed for the Western Islands. I sank too, but couldn't find their hidden ducks.
Some escaped? Unsatisfactory, Lieutenant.
Indeed it is, my Baron. Also, the payment ship from Cold Harborville is extremely late. Almost 2 weeks behind schedule. I checked with their Baron, and it seems that ship did sail on time. I found no evidence of trickery on their part.
Better not.
My lord, there was a bad storm. Maybe a sea mutiny got them. It has happened before.
Brandon scowled at the man, but kept his peace. Griffin was the Baron's personal healer. He was always scrubbed clean, from his pointed beard to his soft leather moccasins. His clothing was plain, almost nondescript, and if he was armed, the blaster was nowhere in sight. Swallowing some partially chewed meat, Baron Kinnison tossed away the half-eaten bird and picked up a fresh one.
There is a possibility, Griffin. Or they may only be damaged and trying to make repairs on some uninhabited island along the route. How many do they normally pass, Lieutenant?
24, if they follow the undersea rivers to make good speed.
Too many to check. Yeah.
Reaching quickly into a pocket, the Baron withdrew a vial and sprinkled a pinch of white powder into his brass mug of wine. He drained the container, the excess flowing over the rim and down his wattled cheeks.
Better. More!
Nervous slaves rushed forward to fill the brass mug from sealed glass bottles, and a terrified slave was forced at gunpoint to sip from the cup before the Baron drank once more. Politely, most of the people in the throne room glanced away from the sight of their Baron quaffing so huge a dose of jolt. As if on cue, a slave who was serving food to the visitors cast aside his plastic tray and shoved over a man from an island ville, the man's silvery belt knife now in his bony grasp.
Die, pig!
The slave charged the throne, the steel blade raised high for a killing stroke. With blinding speed, Brandon pulled his weapon, but Griffin was standing in the line of fire.
Damn it!
As the lieutenant tried to get around the obstruction, the armed guards in the room reacted instantly. The crossfire of their long blasters chilled two slaves and hit the running man twice before he made it to the steps that led to the throne. Bleeding profusely, the slave staggered onward. He lunged forward with the knife. Baron Kinnison calmly drew a sleek blue revolver from within the voluminous folds of his tunic. The would-be assassin was hit directly in the face, the flame from the barrel engulfing his features. Gore went everywhere as human debris blew across the chamber. The shocked crowd could only stare as the mutilated body slumped toward the floor. Then Kinnison's revolver spoke twice more, blasting away chunks of the failed assassin before the corpse hit the granite floor. A bare foot twitched once, and the body stopped moving.